the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. At the beginning of our gospel lesson this morning, taken from St. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, we witness our Lord taking his disciples with him onto a ship, whereby he is able to teach them a very invaluable lesson regarding their faith. You see, in many ways, the disciples' faith was still in its infancy, unproven even. So, therefore, knowing this, Christ took them out onto the sea, where their faith would suddenly be rigorously tested. But in the moments of their despair, as they panicked and even begged for their lives, knowing that they are at the mercy of this mighty storm and powerless against it, they cried out to their master with the words, "Lord, save us, we perish." And while Matthew's account fails to document the exact words that Christ spoke to the tempest to subdue it, Mark's gospel tells us that the thrashings of the tempest were halted by the words, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And by that command, the sea was calm, the boat steadied, and the hearts of those men who but a moment ago were preparing for death were suddenly enveloped with the incomparable calmness of Christ. And in so doing, in their state of complete awe and wonder, they spoke one to another, "What manner of man is this? For the winds and the sea obey him." Now, Holy Scripture tells us that the ability to have power, to have lordship over the water, is a property of divine power. And so the disciples knew what they were witnessing was a power not held by men, but reserved only for a divine being, by God himself. And he just so seamlessly and easily subdued the storm, the chaos that surrounded and threatened them. Now, if you investigate the etymology of the term chaos, you will find words like abyss and water as one of its meanings. Where does your mind go when you hear these two terms, abyss and water? Mine takes me all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, where God divided the waters, divided the chaos. Maybe your mind takes you to Exodus chapter 14, in the parting of the Red Sea. But those aren't the only places in Holy Scripture that talk about our Lord's lordship over water, is it? They're not the only places in Scripture that demonstrate God's power over the water. In fact, didn't we witness it just this past Sunday at the wedding at Cana, when our Lord turned water into wine? There's a clear message for us here, my friends, in successive Sundays, no less. And that is, it should be very clear, as it was this clear to his disciples, that Jesus Christ can calm and subdue the chaos that surrounds us. But as we learned last week, he can also turn and transform that chaos into something good and holy. I want to ask you a question. Do you ever feel weighed down by your sins? Weighed down to the point that you don't think you could ever recover to where you were the strongest in your faith? Or perhaps you feel repentant, but that you think you're unworthy of true repentance in that exact moment of the sin. And so you decide, I'll wait a couple days in an effort to prove just how sorry you are. I know I am guilty of thoughts, similar thoughts like that, but it's complete and total garbage. Those are the whispers of the enemy telling me such things. And we have to realize this. Sometimes I think back to my childhood and think upon those moments where I knew I was strong in my faith. One moment that particularly comes to mind was way back when I was in the Methodist Church as a child, where our entire church, Tom's Creek United Methodist Church, were at a picnic at a pavilion just off the grounds of Mount St. Mary's. And you can still see that pavilion from Route 15 as you make the drive to Emmitsburg. I couldn't have been older than 7 at the time, but what I do remember is wanting to go see the golden statue of Mary that I could barely see through the trees, but I was only 7, so someone had to go with me. We weren't Catholic, and I didn't care. I was drawn to it and knew that I had to get there. And so it happened. Not only did I convince an adult to accompany me, but the entire congregation ended up going with me. If you can imagine that, a 7-year-old boy leading a bunch of Methodists up the mountain to see a Catholic shrine. But for some reason, that moment has remained with me through the years, because I believe it gives me strength. It gives me hope that no matter how beaten down my faith may be at any given moment, no matter how much I've blown it, that I can call out to the Lord in my moment of need if I just say, "Lord, save me." My faith can still be as pure and as simple and as strong as it was in that moment at the grotto so many years ago. Just as Jesus, who during the storm had been sleeping on a ship, awakes to save his disciples, in the same way, having now risen from the dead, frees all who turn to him. Those who, as St. Gregory says, are overwhelmed by the consequences of their sins, crushed beneath the weight of their morality, find themselves beyond their own control, at the mercy of change and corruption. The elect, now weighed down by suffering and shame, shall be delivered. My friends, one of the things that I have come to accept regarding our human nature is that life is not always about smooth seas and blissful happiness. There are going to be tough times. There are going to be storms in our lives. And if you're blessed to live a long life, there will be many storms that come upon you that will test your faith. But that's all they are. They are tests of our faith. Test moments even where you have the ability to strengthen your faith. And sometimes we exhaust our efforts, our energy, when confronted by such storms, thinking that we have the power to save ourselves, when all that is needed is to turn to Christ. After all, we adorn our homes with icons of our glorious Savior, but what good are they if we don't turn to them and use them? What good is it if we don't turn to Christ? If you have an icon, you have Christ with you in the ship. Also, you have Christ imprinted forever upon your hearts by way of your baptism. You carry him with you always. No matter the sin, no matter the situation, no matter what, all that is needed is to turn to him and utter those words, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." A simple yet effective prayer, as we have learned from the events of this morning's gospel. May our prayer now and ever be, "Lord, save us." And may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, be with us now and always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.